Ducatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ducatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we are pulling back the curtain on something most of us use every single day, virtual assistants. You know, Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, we talk to them constantly, right? Asking for music, setting timers, controlling lights. They kind of feel like magic sometimes. But let's be honest, they also fail. A lot.
Oh, absolutely. And that gap, that tension between the perceived magic and the, well, often frustrating reality. That's exactly what we're digging into today. Our mission here is to get past all the sci-fi hype and look at the actual engineering reality.
Yeah.
How these things are built, based on a really insightful book by Roberto Piercini.
Yeah. So if you listening have ever been curious about how these indispensable partners actually work, and maybe more importantly, why they stumble, this is definitely for you. We want to move from just being frustrated users to actually understanding this human-machine thing a bit better.
And to really grasp how a system works, you kind of need to talk to someone who's actually built it, right? Piercini is, well, uniquely qualified. We're talking over three decades, right at the forefront. Speech recognition, conversational AI. He's seen it all.
And he wasn't just like thinking about it in a lab somewhere. He was actually in the trenches making this stuff work. I mean, look at his background.
Yeah.
Foundational work way back at Bell Labs.
The legendary Bell Labs, yeah.
Then building commercial systems at places like IBM and Speechworks. And then, I mean, director of engineering for Google Assistant.
Yeah.
And CEO of Jibo, that social robot company. That's serious hands-on experience.
It's that combination that's so powerful. He gets the deep theory, the complex math behind natural language processing. But he's also wrestled with the incredibly messy real-world problems of making these assistants work for, well, billions of people.
Right.
He knows what looks good on paper versus what actually survives when, like you said, a kid yells a command across a noisy kitchen.
Yeah.
That practical grounding, that's why his perspective is so authoritative.
And that real-world view leads straight into the book's main idea, which honestly clears so much confusion right away. Piercini basically says, look, these assistants aren't one single smart thing. They're not HAL 9000.
Not at all.
Instead, they're what he calls a complex and fragile cascade of specialized technologies.
That phrase, fragile cascade, that's really the core concept you need to grab onto.
Mm-hmm.
It means the whole process works in a line, a sequence. He calls it the conversational AI pipeline. Think of it like this. Your voice, the sound wave, starts the process. It has to become text. Then the machine needs to figure out what that text means. Then it decides what to do. And finally, it generates a spoken answer back to you.
Like an assembly line in a factory.
Exactly. And just like a factory line, if one machine, one step in that sequence breaks down or messes up,
the whole thing grinds to a halt, or you get a weird result.
Precisely. And what even made this factory possible, this whole conversational approach, was a massive shift in technology. We moved away from old-school, rigid, hand-coded rules.
Like those frustrating phone menus where you have to say the exact right word?
Yeah, basically flowcharts trying to predict everything.
Right.
We moved from that to the modern way. Deep learning. It's all fueled by enormous amounts of data and, well, huge computing power. That's what lets them learn conversation patterns.
Okay, so let's walk down that assembly line. Because, like you said, if you understand the steps, you can kind of figure out why your assistant just gave you a nonsensical answer.
Right, let's do it. First up. ASR, automatic speech recognition.
Just turning sound into words. Sounds simple, but
it's monumentally hard. Think about it. Your accent, my accent, background noise, the room's acoustics. Are you mumbling? Are you shouting? All that chaos has to become clean text.
Okay.
ASR has gotten incredibly good, mainly because we shifted from older methods to these deep neural networks, DNNs, that learn from just vast amounts of real audio. The key measure here is word error rate. Or we are.
Yeah.
You want that low.
Lower errors mean better transcription.
Yep. But even perfect transcription isn't enough. The next step is where the real understanding challenge begins. NLU. Natural language understanding.
Okay, so the words are right. Now it needs to figure out what I meant. Like if I say, remind me to call mom at 7 p.m.
Exactly. NLU has to dissect that. It needs to identify your intent. What's the goal here? In your case, it's something like set reminder.
Got it.
And then it needs the specifics, the parameters. We call them entities or slots. So contact mom and time 7 p.m.
Ah, okay. So intent is the verb. Entities are the nouns and details.
That's a great way to put it. And actually, if you, the listener, can get good at phrasing your requests clearly, With that intent plus slot structure in mind, you'll find these assistants suddenly become much more useful. Your personal productivity can genuinely jump up.
That makes sense. Be clear about the action and the details.
But this brings us to a really crucial point Pieraccini makes. The illusion of understanding.
Okay. What does that mean?
It means current systems aren't really understanding like a human does. They are incredibly sophisticated statistical pattern matchers. They've seen millions of examples of people asking for reminders.
And they learn that when these words appear in this order, it usually maps to the set reminder task.
Exactly. It's probability. They map your sentence to the most likely predefined task in their system. They don't have common sense. They don't know what mom means or what 7 p.m. feels like. They're just connecting patterns within the data they were trained on.
Wow. Okay, so it's smart pattern matching, not true comprehension. That explains a lot of the weird failures.
It does. But the pipeline continues. What happens when the conversation isn't just one simple command? What if it's back and forth? That's the job of the dialogue manager, or DM.
The brain of the operation.
Kind of. If NLU gets the single sentence, DM is supposed to track the context across multiple turns, ask clarifying questions if needed, and basically decide what the system should do or say next to keep the conversation going productively.
And Pieraccini says this is tricky.
He argues it's arguably the weakest link in the whole chain right now. It's the grand challenge. Mm-hmm. This is why assistants feel so forgetful.
Yes. Like, I ask, what's the weather in London? It tells me. Then I say, okay, how about restaurants there? And sometimes it just doesn't connect there back to London.
Exactly. The DM system failed to maintain the context London across those two conversational turns. Most current systems use relatively simple, frame-based approaches for DM. Think of it like filling out a form. The system has slots it needs filled.
Okay.
But real conversation is messy. We jump topics, we refer back to things we said minutes ago, we interrupt each other. That's called mixed initiative conversation. Tracking dialogue state through all that complexity is incredibly hard. It doesn't forget maliciously. The computation required to track context perfectly is enormous.
And that common sense problem pops up here again too, right? It's not just about remembering London.
Absolutely. Pieraccini gives that classic example. You ask your assistant, book a meeting for 2 a.m. tomorrow.
Right. A human would immediately say, 2 a.m., are you sure? Is that the right time zone?
Exactly. Yeah. A human uses common sense. The AI, lacking that general world knowledge, might just see time 2 a.m. and try to book it, because it's just filling the time slot based on the pattern, not the meaning or implication.
That lack of common sense seems like a huge barrier.
It's arguably the biggest barrier to truly natural human-like conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, so pipeline check. DM decides what the system needs to say back. Then we hit the final stages.
Getting a response out.
Yep. First, NLG, natural language generation. This takes the system's internal decision, like confirm booking, and turns it into a proper sentence. Okay, I booked your meeting for 2 a.m.
Making it sound grammatical.
Right. And finally, TTS, text-to-speech.
Hi.
Turning that text sentence back into audio. And TTS technology has improved dramatically. We've gone from those really robotic, choppy voices.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
To incredibly natural, human-sounding voices, often generated by neural networks, like Google's WaveNet technology, for example. So the final output sounds pleasant. And that completes the loop, the whole pipeline.
Wow. Okay, seeing it broken down like that, step by step, makes it much clearer. It's not magic, it's engineering, with specific points where things can go wrong.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And now that we've seen the how, we can pull back and look at some of the bigger themes Pieraccini discusses about how this technology actually functions in our lives.
Okay, what are the big takeaways?
Well, the first one is absolutely fundamental. This is a data-driven revolution. The intelligence, such as it isn't programmed rule by rule. It's learned from data.
Right. Which explains why these assistants are constantly getting slightly better, right? Yeah. Because every time we talk to them,
we're providing more data. Every request, every correction helps refine those statistical models in ASR and NLU. Our interactions are, in a way, continuously training the system.
Yeah, interesting.
What's next? It loops back to what we discussed. The sheer complexity of conversation and that common sense gap.
Yeah.
Pieraccini really hammers this home. True conversation relies on so much implicit knowledge, context, handling ambiguity, things humans do effortlessly. AI lacks that deep grounding in how the world works, knowing water is wet, or that, 2 a.m. meetings are probably a mistake without extra context. He points to this lack of common sense reasoning as the single biggest unsolved problem preventing truly fluid understanding AI. That illusion of understanding persists because of it.
Okay, so data drives it, but common sense limits it. What else?
I think the most maybe reassuring theme for users is utility over sophistication. Pierogini constantly emphasizes this. Forget the fancy technical metrics for a second, the WER, the NLU accuracy.
What really matters is, did it help me?
Precisely. The ultimate measure is completely human-centric. Did you, the user, achieve your goal quickly? Was the interaction pleasant? It's about practical usefulness, not some abstract notion of intelligence. User-centered design is paramount.
That's a great perspective. It's a tool, and the measure is how well the tool works for the task.
Exactly. And Pierogini has some really memorable ways of framing these ideas in the book. Some powerful quotes, or at least core concepts worth sharing.
Oh, cool. Like what?
Well, regarding the purpose, he puts it beautifully. The goal is not to replace human conversation, but to enable it in new contexts and with new participants.
Ah, so it's about augmenting us, not replacing us, helping us communicate with technology or maybe through technology.
Right. It's an enabler. And how do we judge that enablement, he says? The measure of an AI assistant's intelligence is not what it knows, but how well it helps users accomplish what they want to achieve.
Back to that utility point. If it sets my timer perfectly every time, it's intelligent for that specific job, even if it can't discuss philosophy.
Perfect summary. And there's one more crucial one, especially today. Privacy is not just a feature of AI assistants. It's the foundation upon which user trust and long-term adoption depend.
That feels incredibly important. If you don't trust how your voice, your requests, your data are being handled, you're just not going to rely on these things, are you?
You're not. Trust is everything, especially when the input is literally your voice inside your own home. Privacy has to be baked in from the start.
So knowing all this, the pipeline, the limitations, the goals, how does this actually help us, the listeners, in everyday life?
Well, immediately, just understanding that NOU part, intent plus slots, helps you talk to your assistant more effectively. Instead of rambling vaguely, you learn to be more direct. Play, intent, jazz music, entity on Spotify, entity. Clearer input means better results. It genuinely makes you more productive with these tools.
Yeah, I can see that. Be specific. What about for people thinking about this more professional, maybe business leaders?
Absolutely. Pierogini's insights are crucial there. Yeah. If you're thinking of building or deploying a customer service bot, for example, understanding the brittleness of dialogue management is key. It tempers expectations.
Right. Don't overpromise. Don't sell it as a truly understanding conversationalist if it's really a sophisticated pattern matcher, good at specific tasks.
Exactly. Design systems that complement your human agents. Handle the simple stuff, but know when to hand off complex issues. Recognize the limitations, especially around context and common sense.
And what about just using these things at home, like with smart speakers?
The privacy point becomes very practical. Understanding that your voice might be processed in the cloud, how that data is stored and used. Mm-hmm. It helps you make more informed choices about which devices you trust in your home and how you configure their settings, balancing convenience with privacy protection.
That's super helpful. So wrapping up, what was the most surprising thing or the biggest takeaway you got from digging into Pierogini's work?
For me, honestly, it was that shift he enables, moving away from thinking of the AI as this single, magical, slightly scary black box, to seeing it clearly as this engineered pipeline. This cascade, it just demystifies the whole thing. You understand why it fails when it fails. It removes the mystique and replaces it with, well, understandable engineering. It feels empowering.
I completely agree. That pipeline model was my big aha moment too. And for you, what's the lasting lesson?
I think it's the crucial importance of always centering human agency and control. These tools should enhance us, augment our abilities, help us manage information or tasks.
Not take over?
Exactly. They shouldn't replace human judgment, especially where common sense or real-world understanding is needed. The best AI assistants are partners, tools that work seamlessly and ethically within our human workflows and our lives. Their success depends entirely on that integration.
It's a great final thought. So next time your assistant misunderstands you, maybe instead of just getting frustrated, you can picture that fragile pipeline. Think about where the breakdown might have happened in ASR, NLU, maybe that tricky DM, and remember the immense challenge of teaching machines common sense. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.